Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 27th of September, 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week was our special harvest service, but it was a harvest with a difference this year. And you'll also hear that we had some technical issues during the service, but I hope that won't spoil your enjoyment of the service. The readings were Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 to 22, and Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning. It's an unusual way to start the service, isn't it? We're doing this, your thumbs up to the back. But of course, welcome to all of you guys that are joining us online. That's why I was doing that, to make sure we were online. And you in the ether just didn't see my mouth moving and no words come out. Although, let's be honest, several people have already said to me this morning, that would be better. The reality is, it's good to welcome you to our harvest festival, a very different sort of harvest festival to the ones we're used to having. In fact, normally the church would be packed, but of course today is a very different sort of day. The notices are as per the sheets you should have received, and we have sent out a service sheet with all of the songs from this morning on. The words will also be up on the screen, so if you've not got the sheet, don't worry, you can follow it up there. If you'd like a copy of the notice sheets, let us know. There are just one or two notices to draw your attention to, really. They are as follows. If you are able, after the service, you're here in person, and you can help us to deliver a couple of CDs, could you let Richard know? We're just trying to coordinate that a bit so that no one of us has to deliver all 20 that get delivered, but we can deliver them a few each. That will help us enormously. Secondly, to say, as part of this morning's service, we're going to play a video which is from BMS launching a harvest appeal about the work that's going on in a hospital in Chad. If you're listening to this service by way of CD, you cannot, of course, see the video, but there should be enough words in that video for you to gather the sense of it. And if you want to know more and you can view a CD, then if you let me know, I'll make sure that we get one in the post to you via BMS, who are offering to do that for us. So if you could do that for me, that would be brilliant. Thirdly, to say, if you are coming to a service, and please remember we have one on Thursday, if it's possible, can you book in to the office? We just want to make sure that we are secure at all times in this COVID environment. Then to say, on the notices, there is a call for a national day of prayer. Now, in my opinion, friends, the importance of prayer cannot be understated at this particular time. And you'll see the details of that day of prayer on the notices about how to join in that and how to sign a petition going to the government to say the nation should be called to prayer and asking the government to do that. If that's something you're interested in, the details are there. If you don't have the details and you want them, can you email either me at paul@minehead-baptist.com or Margaret in the office with office at and the same address, and we'll make sure you get those details. It's amazing to come together and worship at harvest. And harvest time is one of those times when I kind of miss the organ. So we're going to start our worship with a harvest hymn played on the organ. It'll be on the screen, if that doesn't contradict things. But we're going to come and raise the harvest home. And as we do so, and before we do so, I want to thank those that have put effort, all the effort, into this amazing harvest display, which you, I know, at home can see by my left-hand side. To thank people for their effort in doing that. To say it's a reminder for all of us, whether here or at home, to reflect on the God, the Lord of the harvest, who makes amazing promises to us. So whether you're at home or you're here, join me in singing, "Come, ye thankful people, come."
Thank you.
him. As you will have seen, that wasn't the right song. I don't know if we have the right song or not. We don't. No matter. Okay, we're going to have to skip that. Okay, the good news is, friends, that means the service is a few minutes shorter. The bad news is we can't get to sing that amazing song. But what we can do is join with Roy and Jenny as they remind us that come, despite all our technological problems, now is the time to worship. Good morning. In a moment, John is going to come and lead us into some prayers. And just to say, Steve has recorded that song. It's me not being able to read my emails properly. So I think I'll probably upload it later today on Facebook. And we'll play it on Thursday at our service. So John is now going to come and lead us in some prayers.
Last week's service ended with a blessing which included the words, that you may be a giver of his mercy as you receive mercy. On this Harvest Festival, I would like to take that blessing as a theme for our prayers, that as we receive, may we also give. And when we have not done so, may we repent and seek forgiveness. Lord, thank you that you are in control and that we have certainty with you. Thank you that whatever difficulties and doubts we encounter, you are forever and you are in charge. Forgive us when circumstances have turned us from you to reliance on our own resources. Thank you that you provided and will continue to provide at this time so much for us, be that spiritually, emotionally, and materially. Lord, thank you for the beauty of the area in which we live, which is only a microcosm of the wonderful world which you have created. We thank you for sun and shadow, for wind and calm, for clouds and clear skies, for colours and shades, and for the wide diversity of plants and animals. Thank you for the senses that we have to enjoy that creation, knowing that what we see here is only a token of what you have made. And Lord, we acknowledge that the lifestyle we live, expect, and demand has damaged and may destroy your creation. We ask forgiveness for the wastage, pollution, and despoiling which our desires have required. Give us courage to align our needs and expectations with the needs of others and stewardship of resources. Thank you, Lord, that you have created all people, both men and women, in your image. Thank you for the variety of skin color, gifts, languages, and traditions which reflect your marvelous diversity. Thank you, Lord, that we live in a country which seeks to protect by legislation the equal value and treatment of all persons. But we acknowledge that despite these efforts, widespread discrimination and fear of the other exists in this society. And we ask forgiveness, not only that we have closed our eyes to this evil, but also for the part that Christians here have played in building these structures. In particular, so far as race discrimination is concerned, we repent of the historical reluctance to accept those of colour into your church family. May we discern your beauty in all. Lord, thank you for the freedoms in this country and the confidence which that can bring. Freedom to worship, freedom to meet with you and each other, freedom to hope and dream for the future. Lord, we pray for those who are not free, for those locked in jobs which offer no escape from poverty, for those who are trapped in loveless, violent relationships, and for those imprisoned by the classification, limits, and categorization placed on them by others. And Lord, we pray in particular for those who in this land, in this county, are enslaved, and we acknowledge with shame that in 21st century Somerset, people are treated as assets to be exploited. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, we pray in silence for those who are fearful at the present time, who are ill, whose friends or family have died. In a moment of silence, we remember them. Yet while acknowledging that pain and loss, we thank you that we live in a country where medical treatment is freely and readily available. Thank you for all who care and work in the health and care services. We acknowledge that many such workers come from elsewhere in the world, and we reflect that this will have reduced the health services in their home countries. Forgive us, Lord, if our increased likelihood of survival has been responsible for others' increased likelihood of death. Finally, Lord, thank you for the glorious sufficiency that you have promised through your constant love, both for us and for all those we have prayed for. We are sorry that on so many occasions we have sought for and grasped more than you plan for us. Give us courage to dare to change our hearts and values so that we may see and stand against evil, as well as receiving your mercy, we may show that same mercy to those we have prayed for. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Are you smiling behind those masks? Are you all right? Yeah. Okay, this morning's talk. Okay, what I wanted to do was to get you all to shout and to holler and all that sort of thing. Maybe just make a noise. But you can't really do that in the world we live in at the moment because you're not allowed to sing or shout because of your masks. But the idea was that you were going to make a lot of noise, an awful lot of noise, and then I was going to try and tell you about a story that Jesus told. And you were going to go, I can't hear you. And I'm going, and that's because you're making a lot of noise. But actually, if you were in this room, if you're at home, if you're in this room is absolutely silent. And I've never been in a room where there are so many Christians. All right, oh, well done. Oh, Simon, should we do it like that? Okay, right, we'll do it like that. Right, it's sort of lost the point now because I've told you what you're going to do. All right, but we will do it like that. Okay, what I want you to do is to make a lot of noise, but don't shout. Just get your legs like this, or your hands, okay? And then I'm going to tell you about a story. You went out, and you told me about sowing seeds, and it landed on some good soil, and it landed on some bad soil, and some of them... Okay, well done. This is surreal. Most people have got a proper job. This is my job. All right? It was noisy, wasn't it? Could you tell what story I was trying to tell you? No, you couldn't, because it's noisy. And actually, all right, we live in a world where there's a lot of noise around and we can't always hear things. And there's a lot of noise and it's hard to hear God. And what do I mean by that? Well, actually, it's really simple. Right? There are people in this world who we respect who might tell us that God isn't real. There might be people around us that tell us, oh, you don't need to go to church. Our friends might tell us we don't need to go. There are people who tell us that the way we're worshipping God is wrong. We're not doing it right. And there are TV shows, there's things out there that our youngsters, that you watch, right, that tell you that if you go to church or you believe in God, right, you are basically get pushed around, you get bullied. Children and young people and adults in our TV shows are portrayed as weak. The story I told you this morning that you couldn't hear was probably my favourite harvest story. And if you were listening to prayers on Friday morning, I said it then. It's the story of the sower who sows the seeds onto four different types of soil. If I can find it in my Bible, let's... That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. There were such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and he sat in it. I bet it was really noisy and he couldn't hear what was being said. And Jesus told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seeds, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, right? And the weeds sprang up quickly. Hang on, I lost that bit. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns. They grew up and they choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a good crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Great story. Wonderful story. But we need to listen. Jesus' disciples were just like us in that story. Just like us a few minutes ago, when I was speaking and you couldn't hear me, Jesus' disciples couldn't hear Jesus. But it wasn't because it was really noisy at that time. It's because they didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't understand what that parable meant. So Jesus explained it. I'm not going to explain it now. You can read the rest of that chapter in Matthew where Jesus explains it. But what I'm going to say as the meaning for my talk this morning, that long way around it, is that Jesus' disciples didn't just accept what Jesus was saying. They didn't just go, oh yeah, okay, and then walk away with no understanding, which is what we do lots of times. When people say things to us, we just go, oh, yeah, okay, and then we go on and carry on doing our own thing. Jesus' disciples asked a question, and they said, what do you mean? And what I want to say to all the youngsters and the adults out there is if you don't understand something, it's good to ask questions. So if you're reading something in your Bible and you don't understand it, don't just think, oh, well, and then carry on. Go and find someone to ask. Go and talk to someone. Maybe even pray about it for some understanding. It is good to ask questions. It is good that God wants to give us understanding. We need to listen to God. We know that God exists. I know God exists. We know that coming to church is a good thing. Right? I'm looking around now and seeing these seats. I know it's not as full as it would be, but it's a lot fuller than it was 2 weeks ago. We know that living like God wants us to is the best way to live. And we know that when we don't understand something, we are supposed to ask questions. Otherwise, we'll never find out. So in this harvest time, when we think about sowing seeds, when we think about good crops and not so good crops, my carrots were good this year, by the way, right? Cauliflowers, not so good, all right? Caterpillars ate them, all right? In this time of harvest, when some things are good, we need to remember that God is always good. And God wants to listen. And God wants to answer our questions. He doesn't want us just to nod and go on our way. Dear Lord, we live in a noisy world. Help us to always listen to your small voice in it. Remind us to ask questions when we don't understand the things you're trying to tell us.
As part of Harvest this year, we're going to be joining with BMS in their Harvest Appeal. They've launched an appeal to help the work of some of their own BMS-supported medical workers at a centre called the Beacon of Hope Medical Centre in a place called Sahel. I hope that's how you pronounce it, in Chad. As a church, as a leadership, we want to provide the opportunity for all of you who wish to respond to that appeal to do so. First and foremost, our suggestion is respond directly. You're able to do that over the internet via BMS's own website. We've put the details of that in our notices and on our website. But then if you can't or you'd rather not do it that way, we want to provide you the opportunity of donating via the church. So if you can donate via a separate envelope marked specifically BMS or Harvest or some such way, then that would be brilliant. Cheques would need to be made payable to Minehead Baptist Church, to remind some of you. Pauline's willing to come and collect those from you if you can't get to church, so please contact her if you need any help. The appeal will remain open for the next few weeks. This is an ongoing need in this hospital, so please take some time to consider how the Lord is asking you to respond. What you're about to see is the video from BMS. It was completed and recorded before COVID, but it starts with an interview, an audio interview, with the director of the hospital in a post-COVID world, we could say. It reminds us at this time, when we are celebrating what we have, that there are those who have nothing. This hospital in Chad, where all medical needs you have to pay for, provides medicine for the poor, who elsewise would go nowhere. I encourage you to respond as the Lord would have you respond as we watch this video.
I'm praying up every day that God will protect us. I pray that God will protect our team. So taking precautions, but praying a lot so that God will prevent us from being caught in COVID. The heat is there and the fear of coronavirus is there. There is a lot of stress.
How are you? Are you tired?
Well, I'm still carrying on. Fine, that's my normal life.
I feel like it's a privilege to take care of people and make sure that they're healthy. I'm so happy to do that every day, even though in the evening I'm exhausted. But I will say, Lord, thank you, because you have granted me the privilege to restore me, and I will be able to do it tomorrow again. So I've seen God really moving, because people come to the hospital desperate and they move out of the hospital full of joy. So I'm so happy to do that. I'm committed to do more.
Thank you. It was raining, and the van I was driving skidded and flipped over. I was terrified. I lost consciousness for an hour. I couldn't see anything. I lost the ability to do anything. A doctor in Cameroon wanted to amputate my leg. I spent 5 months with traditional healers. I suffered terribly. My boss told me that he'd been in a similar accident. But when he went to Guinabore 2 Hospital, he got better. That's why he brought me here. My leg is starting to heal. The doctors here are really looking after me. I think... that by the grace of God, everything is going to be okay.
For those who have no idea about Chad, and about Guinabore Hospital. Chad is a country where most of the people don't earn much to survive, and they need care. So the most that most people come
We've suffered another technical hitch for those of you at home. Those of you that hear, that was kind of quite clear to see. However, during that small clip, you saw something. What you saw was that we in the Western world, despite COVID-19 being a global problem, we here are also quite privileged to have the hospital care and the chance of medicines that we have. Imagine for a moment, so rather than seeing the end of that video, I'm just going to ask you to reflect. You heard one man's story, you would have heard others. But imagine being someone in a country whereby even the most fundamental of medical care is something you cannot afford. And then imagine the devastation COVID-19 brings. Friends, I know it's a pull of the heartstrings because that video pulled at my heartstrings that says, if you're able to respond, please do. And if you want that video in full, either I can set up a link so you can download it or see it, or we'll put it on our Facebook page, and or you can go on the BMS website. Just in a moment of silence, at home and here, I ask you to reflect on one simple question. Lord, how do you want me to respond?
We're now going to be led by Roy and Jenny in first some words, Harvest of Hope, I think it's called, and then they will be, we'll join with them in singing Blessed Be Your Name.
Harvest of Hope, from the writings of Eddie Askew. Farmers sow in hope. It's an active hope because they also work to secure it. They till the soil, feed and irrigate it. This is Christian hope too. Peter tells us that we are given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Living hope, active, developing, growing. Not a passive acceptance that everything will be all right in the end, but a hope in which we work with God to achieve his purposes. It's hope which springs from the dying seed. It comes from the death of Jesus and from the deaths that we die in actively living for him. No one comes to personal faith except by dying to self. When we see ourselves in his light, we see the need for the death of pride and self-delusion. We face reality. And the great thing about facing the truth about ourselves is that we are thrown onto Jesus as the one source of strength and life. We discover that what could be a distressing, unhappy journey through failure is transformed into a bright journey to the discovery of grace. And that is why our hope is real and alive, because it springs direct from the living God, through whom the hope of harvest and the harvest of hope are fulfilled.
Lord, I live in hope. A lovely word, not the cheap cliche that shrugs its shoulders and smiles and says it'll be all right on the night, but a deep root that holds me firm in the bedrock of your love, whatever comes. That's what I look for, Lord. That's how I want to live. The trouble is, it doesn't come to life without a struggle. To find the hope to live by, first I have to die. Face the slow, painful death of self, the transfer of power, a freedom fight in which I die to live, surrender to find freedom, all topsy-turvy. And in the death of self, hope comes delicately, shimmering gossamer wings alive with light, lifting the old drabness of despair with rainbow glow, painting my life with new reality. I hope for hope, Lord. The seeds of light sown in the darkness round your cross germinate and flower and fruit in the fallow fields of my small life. My hope starts in your death and resurrection, continues in the certainty of your presence, fulfills itself in the clear, calm confidence of final victory. For now, I cling to hope's small seedling, vulnerable, not yet full grown, measuring each day in the new leaves of little victories, and, help me, Lord, often in small defeats. But still I cling to hope and know you walk with me. Thank you, Lord.
We have two readings this morning. One, and the first, from Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 to 22. There's a one in there. 18 to 22. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Amen. And I'll just pray for Paul now as he comes. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that the words that Paul speaks would be your words, Lord, that nothing not of you would pass his lips. Amen.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you for the prayer. It reminds me of a time many years ago. I just started preaching. It's got to be about when I was 19 or 20. So it's a few years ago. A chap got up and prayed for me, and this is what he said when he started the prayer. Friends, I'm going to pray for us all as Paul comes and speaks to us. And I thought, yeah, that's about right, isn't it, really? You know, celebrating Harvest at NBC without you who are watching online, without so many who would normally gather and thank God for his provision, is, to say the least, different and strange. As Mark said, it's lovely to see many more here than a few weeks ago when it was just two or three of us, but the reality is it's still different and strange. You know, there's no one during, if we could have managed to get Come You Thankful People Come, well, we'd have had it on the organ live, wouldn't we, if we'd have gathered together? And you'd have got that amazing rush of young people and adults together bringing provisions ranging from hampers to tins of beans. There's no one that's, no parent rather, that's trying to stop a child experimenting with the produce they carry to see if potatoes or tomatoes will bounce. There's no adults, or slightly older people we'll call us, shall we, reflecting on harvests from years gone by. No raised voices as we greet old and new friends with a handshake or a hug on what is a festival Sunday in church. In one sense, all has been stripped away by a virus and by imposed restrictions. Yet, and Sunday by Sunday, we will still declare this, and a bit of me wants to say, we must declare this forevermore. We declare, amidst all of that, God is still God. God is our harvest hope, and he is still in control. His call this morning, whether here or virtually, is still to look up, to worship him, to rely on his promises. And in our reading from Genesis, we saw Noah doing exactly that. The boat builder builds an altar. In one sense, he steps out of the tomb of the ark onto dry land and fresh air and daylight. Trust me, if you were locked up in an ark with all those animals for 40 days, you too would probably crave fresh air. It's as if he steps into the daylight of his own Easter morning. And his first response to God is one of gratitude. He offers confession, and then he offers his continued confession of that need he has, we have, for God's grace. John, thank you for the reminder in the prayers of the need of that grace. At harvest time, we come before God, don't we? Offer him thanks for all our provisions. Remember that humanity can be greedy, self-centered, selfish. I checked with the global organizations. This is actually true. Global food production is incredibly effective. And whereas a few years ago we were able to say we have enough food to feed the world, now we can say that we have enough food to feed 1.5 times the global population. Yet, still, people go hungry. We have enough to feed 10 billion, just to let you know. Currently, we're 7.6 billion. And for the mathematicians among you, I know that doesn't quite work. But you get the drift. Our attitude is not one that says, I have enough, here's for you. Our attitude is says, we need more of what we deserve. And we're prepared to fight for it, physically if necessary, in order to get what we need. So amidst the fear, we can then sell the excess that we've taken from you back to you. And that is, at least in part, our world economy. After all, we often do it at inflated prices. And that reality leads to greed dominating. I want to say this harvest time, we should remember that's what's happening today. And we, dear church, should be counter-cultural to it. Don't believe me? Okay, here's your memory test. It is now September. We all agree that? People are unsure out there. There are some that are not nodding. Trust me, it is September. Go back 6 months. What month was it? March. What day is it today? The 27th. When did the lockdown first really bite this country? Almost the day, 6 months ago. So go back 6 months. You're going to go shopping in the supermarket. You got the deal? Now, we've been told the supply will not run out. And we know for a fact that the COVID-19 virus affects the respiratory system. But toilet rolls have become the must-have thing. Not that we must have enough to meet our needs for today or tomorrow, but that we've got to stockpile it. I bet there are people out there that are still using toilet rolls that they bought 6 months ago. Websites offering toilet rolls, I did check. How much do you think the best price for a pack of four I could find was? People, £20 for four toilet rolls. That's not being just, that's living in fear. And Jesus Christ cuts across the fear. Because that fear comes from the enemy. Yet Noah's call is to remember God. That's what he does. The first thing he does when he steps out of the ark is remember God and who God is. Friends, I want to say to you this morning, whether you're at home or here, if you are living in fear, there is an antidote to it. Faith is the antidote to fear. Not faith in humanity. Trust me, you rely on me, I'm going to let you down. But faith in the awesome God whose promises never fail. When Mark was speaking earlier, when he was getting us to bang our legs together, it was quite noisy in here, wasn't it, Mark? It was really quite cool, actually. Good demonstration. Despite the fact we knew the outcome before we started, good demonstration. In reality, when we were doing that, I suddenly found myself thinking, do you know the problem with that? If we make so much noise, the problem is that when God speaks in that still small voice, we can't hear him. We have to shut up and listen. Thank you for the reminder. And Noah's story, we've heard a little of it, speaks to us today about a global perspective, just like the current pandemic. A story that reminds us that with all that's going on around us and the fearful world that we can easily slip into living in, we have, all we are is, a gift of grace. And in this world, just like Noah was in his generation, you and I, friends, are called to display in worship and service, no matter what the circumstances, the righteousness of a trust in faith in God. Jesus says to his disciples, according to the reading Richard bought, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Phew, that's a relief. It's God's harvest. It doesn't depend on us. You and I aren't the Lord of the harvest. He is. And with every respect to every farmer and gardener, no matter how much hard work you do, it's God who made the crops grow. I'm grateful you had really good carrots, Mark. In one sense, God did the growing. I'm not so sure he would have approved of your cauliflower, though. We all have a part, don't we? We're all called to pray. So I believe something, friends. But this harvest time, the Lord is calling us all to boldly take all the faith we have and pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers, acknowledging that as we do so, he may well send us. In one sense, it's quite a comparatively comfortable thing to pray that the Lord of the harvest will do something about the fact that he needs workers. And quite another, quite forbidding, quite uncomfortable, to openly say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." To the disciples who heard those words, to us today is a challenge. Not just a challenge for someone else, but a challenge for us, for you and I, to respond. We must be prepared to be open, to respond, to hear, to act as the Lord of the harvest says, go, do. I think this world needs a whole lot less fear and a whole lot more faith. And the place it's going to find it is here, either actually or virtually, when you and I take that seedling of faith that we have and give it to God and go where he says. We're called to demonstrate a fact that hangs on to God despite all appearances and seeks to translate his word into practice. A faith that declares and shouts and screams even at the whole of creation, God is still God. He is still in control and he reigns. A faith that holds on to the cosmic God, that in him all God's purposes for the whole of creation, for the whole of the universe, come into fulfillment. A faith that says there is not an inch of this universe over which Jesus Christ does not say, it is mine. For through him and in him are all things. That incidentally means he says to the enemy, hands off, they're mine, about you. A faith that no matter what harvest fields he calls you to serve him in, no matter what he asks you to do, asks you to simply remember the promise he made Noah. He invites you this morning to live in covenant with him, because he wants to uphold you and sustain you with a love that will not let you go. We bring ourselves this morning to you, Lord, Lord of the harvest, acknowledging that the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, and we say, here I am, Lord, send me. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that in those passages you remind us that you are the Lord of the harvest, but that you call us to be co-workers with you. And you send us and call us and desire and long to be with us. So Lord, wherever we go, may we go with you and in your name. And may you reign in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are times in church life, friends, when special events happen, not just to church, but to individuals. Ellie has one of those special events coming up next week, off to Oxford, which does prove this church produces brains, Ellie, just to let you know. Mum and Dad will leave them to one side, but, you know, well done you for doing what you're doing and getting where you're going. And this church is rightly so proud of you. I want to join with your mum and dad in letting you know that. But I also want to say we would be doing Ellie a disservice. All of our students that are going somewhere this year a disservice if we didn't do what churches should do best, which is to bless you and pray for you as you leave. Now, in one sense, Ellie won't leave because you'll always be part of our family. In another sense, there'll be miles between us. But praying for you means we are committed to pray with you and for you, not just today, but for the time to come. We ordinarily lay hands on Ellie, and we can't do that, of course, in this COVID world. But what I can do is ask you to come up here and ask Mum and Dad to come and lay their hands on you. So you can take your mask off at this time, guys. It's okay. You're coming to be part of the service. So Mark and Sally, on our behalf, are going to do what I and Richard can't do. Is that okay? Hopefully so. And you're now a video star. Okay, Richard's just going to adjust the angle so all can see. And then come up here and join me. And we're going to pray for you. Friends, I invite you where you are now to pray. And I'm going to invite you to pray as we pray. So actually, if you want to pray in your mask as we go along, if there's this hum of prayer, it's all good, it's all for you. And if not, and you want to do this from where you are, I invite you just to reach out your hand in blessing to Ellie. Let's pray, friends. Father God, we thank you for Ellie, for the person she is, for who you created her to be. We thank you, Lord, that you created her not just to come to this point, but with potential to do so much more in your name. We thank you that you love her and you care for her and you long for her to succeed. We thank you that you have the very best of intent for her, that you desire her to know you in ways like she's never known you before. And so we pray a blessing, the very best we can, on Ellie and for Ellie, that she would be filled by the power and the grace and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know you and love you and to be known and loved by you. And that, Lord, you would bless all that she does, reminding her that she is yours. She need not live in fear as she lives in faith in you. Father God, I thank you for Ellie. And Lord, me and Richard want to join with her. I encourage Richard, come on up and pray, one student to another, about that reality of being yours at this time.
Father, we pray for Ellie, Lord. As she sets out on this journey, we pray, Lord, that she would know that she is yours. And even as Ellie learns to navigate this strange new world of university, we pray, Lord, that she would remain true to you. Amen.
And so, Ellie, we bless you. In the name of the Father, we bless you. In the name of the Son, we bless you. In the name of the Spirit, we bless you. For you are the Lord's, and he will not let you go. Never let go of him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you, Ellie. You kind of represent all students as well as yourself. I think it's next weekend you're off. Have I got that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly a week today. So next Sunday. So next Sunday, remember to pray for Ellie, because she's got an hour or two of Mark's driving to look forward to. And we all know how scary that can be. Yeah, we'll kind of let you off, is that all right? And actually continue to pray for Ellie. And Ellie, if you ever want friends, you have them. You have them in abundance. Is that okay? We're all kind of all nodding and doing all the kind of COVID-19 secure stuff rather than shouting out. Bless you. May your adventure, this just be a start point to the adventure of what God's going to do with you. Bless you guys. We're going to actually turn to some worship now and finish our service with a song that's kind of, well, it's older, but it has amazing words. It reminds us that no matter what the circumstance, we need to rejoice. Rejoice, because Christ is in us. Let's worship our Lord.
Thank you, Roy and Jenny. And that brings us to the end of our service this morning. So shall we say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. One day I'll remember it.
If you'd like to donate to the BMS Chat Appeal, you can do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And also on there, you can watch the full film that we had problems with this morning. So thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.